podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I need to get out of here, I think. Hello, everybody. My name's James, and for the benefit of those listening on the audio, you're listening to my regular Ask James live stream where I welcome questions from the YouTube community on anything football related. It's just gone 3 p.m. UK time on Friday, August 12th. We have all the team news for game week two, and normally I'd run through bits of it, but I don't think there's too much to be at that concerned about, other than Stephen Gerrard said Leon Bailey looks good in training again today, and I think we could probably read into that it'll probably start again. I don't think there was a lot from the team news today to bother anyone particularly. So we're going to get straight into the questions. Rob H says, Sky fantasy football question. Brennan Johnson or Eric Dier captain on Sunday? It's probably a straightforward one, Rob, in the sense of, do you think Tottenham will keep a clean sheet? There's not going to be passing tears for Eric on Sunday unless you ended up in a circumstance where Chelsea were down to 10 men and Tottenham were chasing the game, for example. It's the only way you'd be hitting that. So if you don't think Tottenham were keeping a clean sheet, I'd be gambling on Brennan Johnson myself. Dan, the FPL fan, says, hi, James. No question, just a good luck for game week two. Thanks for the content. People should really check out the Patreon. So much great content. Thank you, Dan. Well sold for me. Fantasy Billy says, what's happening, Jaylins? If you could get a pint and a pie from any stadium in the country, considering taste and price, who would you choose? I must say, Bill, I'm not much of a pie man, but as soon as you asked that, I immediately thought of the King Power, Leicester City. Absolutely amazing sausage roll last time I went up there. So I'm going to say Leicester City, sausage roll and a pint, if that's okay. Good one at Brentford I had in April, sausage roll as well, actually. James Lovegrove says, afternoon, James. Hope you've had a good week. I've got, to be honest, Billy, by the way, the real option is Spurs. Honestly, get it through the bottom of the glass. Reasonable price for London. James Lovegrove says, afternoon, James. Hope you've had a good week. I've got KDB and Salah as my premiums. What's your thoughts on capping safe at this stage of the season? Go with Salah due to the EO. Well, in my mind, I'd make Salah a slightly better choice than KDB anyway, actually. Personally, so I think KDB tomorrow is very dependent on what Man City do in terms of how they play. So if it's very similar to how they lined up at West Ham, I'm not convinced it will go off that big, to be honest. If they change to more of a 4-2-4 without the ball, not that they'll be without it for long, then I think that would increase the appeal of KDB. So if I was in that position, I'd be captain Salah. I don't own Salah, as many of you will know. I do have Erling Haaland. I've had him from the start, and I'll be captain Erling Haaland. That's always been the plan ahead of this week. But I'd probably go Salah over KDB, and it wouldn't be an EO effective choice, to be totally honest. Salah's at home to Palace. You've got to expect him to return, haven't you? AJ says, hi, James. Already have Salah and Haaland in place. What are your thoughts on moving Kulusevski to Foden and going Hall chasing? Well, I think, AJ, that's probably dependent on the rest of your team. So the only advice I can really give you is not so much of all Kulusevski to Haaland, to Foden, sorry. On the face of it, for 1 week, it's fine. I've been having a similar dilemma about Son and KDB. And on the face of it, Son to KDB, one free transfer, absolutely obvious for this week, isn't it? But I probably want to reverse it next week. So I think it's dependent on how happy you are with the rest of your squad. And I don't just mean for this week. I mean, looking ahead, what are the potential problems you can have for next week? So I foresee me wanting to jettison Matty Cash into a bin next week. Kieran Trippier's got Man City next week. So I'm foreseeing I've got a few problems. And this is before we speak about the ideas of injuries, suspensions, this kind of thing that you can't plan for that obviously can happen. So I've decided at the moment, probably, and I'm not 100%, but probably not to make the move. And my advice would be the same, AJ. But if you look at your team and you're looking at game week three going, oh my God, beat team, be amazing, I won't make any transfers, then I think you should make the move. James Lovegrove says, Fantasy Billy has a much better question than me. FPL Finding Glory says, afternoon, feels like a slow FPL week. I predict a Kane brace hat-trick this week. I've sold him for Haaland. I mean, you and it's going to be about a million other people. With that in mind, what move transfer in the past do you remember to be your most painful? Ooh. Do you know what? I'm not someone who kind of hankers on and remembers these sort of things, to be totally honest. Because I'm a bit of a fixture head as well, I tend to have reasoning behind most of the moves I make. I suppose looking back last year, buying Bruno Fernandes, game week 33? You could call it painful, but there was some logic in terms of potential. It was potential double-double, wasn't it, at the time when I actually bought him in. So, no major regrets, mate. I try not to live and think about the game in that way, mate. Listen, to be honest, right, you can have, like, bias of the outcome. Like, if you've moved Kane to Haaland this week, it's the right move, isn't it? There's nothing to say Kane can't score at Chelsea and Haaland will definitely score tomorrow. It's the right move. Like, that's it. Like, are you happy at the time of the deadline? Are you happy with your move? Like, you're going to make the same move every single time. So you can't affect the outcomes. Football, shit goes wrong. Otherwise, we'd all guarantee amazing ranks, wouldn't we? There's an unpredictable nature to this game. So if Kane outscores Haaland this weekend, like, legitimately, you cannot regret that in the slightest. John Cahill says, afternoon, James. I've got Son and Salah as my two premiums. Option one is hold. Two is go KDB captain, or three, take a -4 for the big man. Which would you choose, mate? I would honestly take the -4 to get the big man in. I think from a setup perspective, looking now at the potential possibly of even Darwin Nunes as well, going Haaland and knowing that, okay, let's say something happens to him. You can go Kane. You can go Darwin Nunes. You can go Gabriel Jesus if you don't have. You can come down to Ivan Toney's got great fixtures from game week 3. Some would say great fixtures from now. Like, there's people you can go down to. So I think from a team setup at the moment, it makes sense to get him in. That's been my advice all week, is just do what you need to do to get him in personally. It doesn't mean you have to captain him as such. Like, if you still prefer Mo, go with Mo. It's absolutely fine. But yeah, I would prioritise getting him in from a structure perspective as much as anything as well. Alistair Cooper says, hey mate, for the differential team, I've got Mahrez captain. Would you keep or change to Foden? And who would be your favourite combo of goalkeeper and defender for a combined 9.5 for just this week? I presume you're looking for differentials there, Alistair, I'm going to assume. So let's say differentials. Good question. Let's say Rasmus Christensen at Southampton. Oh, that only leaves me 4.5 for a midfielder, doesn't it? That's a bit shit. Right, scrap that. Let's go Morgan Gibbs-White at home to Fulham. And what does that leave me? 5.5 maths. 4 million for a defender. Oh, crap. It's a bit shit, isn't it? Patterson, Everton. Probably should have gone cheaper, shouldn't I? In terms of the Mahrez captaincy, don't think he starts. I think City will probably pick the same team that played at West Ham. He's my guess. I don't know. Tom says, hi, James. Thoughts on starting with cash still, or does Andreas against Wolves have more potential upside? No, completely the opposite. One goal for Matty Cash could be a 15-pointer. It's every chance for a clean sheet against Everton with no centre-forward, isn't there? So, no, completely disagree with that. I own both. I'll be playing Matty Cash. Hector Palmer says, hi, James. Hope you're well. Who to bench? One of James, Neto, Bailey and Trippier. Also, in your opinion, what was the goal of the tournament at the Women's Euros? Cheers. We've got to say Alessia Russo against Sweden in the semi-final, haven't I? But to be fair, I mean, Ella Toon's in the final from the magnificent assist from Kira Walsh, who I'll get a mention in for whenever I can. Who to bench from those? James? Definitely not Reece James. No way. Neto, Bailey, Trippier. Arguably Trippier, to be honest. Listen, you pick Neto and Bailey because what you're now worried about, Fulham at home and Everton at home respectively. I think you play them guys, don't you? So probably for me would be bench Trippier. I haven't got Trippier on the benching dilemmas for the deadline streamer stands. Maybe I should stick him in there. Owen Wilson says, hi, James. Any memories of Spurs playing on your birthday? Do they tend to ruin it or make it? Oh my God, they tend to ruin it. It actually became a thing for a while. So my birthday is December the 13th. And we played Coventry away. This was not long after Christian Gross had taken over. And back in those days, this is going back to 1997. Back in those days, it was like radio, right? And I remember going to an ice rink at Ali Pali with a few girls. There were some lads there as well. And listened to them on a little old Walkman, but not listening to it for long because we lost 4-0. And then we played Newcastle, or I might have the year wrong. I want to say 03, might have been 04. No, it can't be 04. Been 02 or 03. Lost 4-0 at Newcastle as well. We drew 0-0 at home to Man United one Saturday night on my birthday. And it was becoming a bit of a running joke that we couldn't even score on my birthday. We broke it a couple of years ago. We played Brighton at Wembley and we won 2-0. But yeah, they normally ruin it, to be honest. They normally just ruin the weekend. That's why I stopped celebrating, because Spurs just ruin it anyway. Dan says, if you had Salah and was starting fresh, which two Liverpool players would you pick to go with him today? Honestly, right now, I would still go Salah, Robertson, Trent as the kind of best three, if you will, in my opinion. You can always drop Robertson down and then spread that, you know, Jesus to Nunes. It's easy done, isn't it? Robertson to James, Jesus to Nunes, for example. It's easy done, isn't it? Okay, save for the 0.1 or whatever, but you get the idea of what I'm saying. It's easy enough done. So it'd still be those three. I don't think Nunes starts on Monday. I think Firmino will start again, is my personal opinion. And listen, we've seen what Nunes did coming off the bench against Fulham. So it's not a case you should shit yourself. But what if Nunes is coming on this time and Liverpool already winning 2-0? Like, is it different this time? Remember, they were throwing the sink at Fulham, right? And that obviously had an impact in terms of what the underlying numbers were. So it would still be those three for me. I shouldn't really be nervous about Luis Diaz, but I think anyone who's got an 8 million midfielder has got to be conscious of all these assets. You know, moving between them is a viable strategy. So if Diaz has a bad night, this is, again, part not going for KDB at the moment, for example. If Diaz has a bad night on Monday, I might move him on to Kulusevski, for example, going into game week 3, but I wouldn't make that move now. So it would be Trent, Robertson and Salah as the best three, I think. I'm sure that would be the highest scoring three as well. Nunes isn't going to start 38 games. They're going to ease him in, I'm sure. Who's next? Jamie Anthony says, this will probably be asked a lot, so sorry. He's Kane to Haaland and -4, we just have to do. You don't have to do anything in this game, Jamie. I'm not going to sit here and tell you players are essential. Like, if you're listening to this and you're going, no, James, I disagree, I don't want Erling Haaland, then don't get Erling Haaland. Like, it's straightforward. Play it however you want to. My opinion would be, yes, do it. Honestly. He's going to go up probably another 0.1 tonight, isn't he? And if he returns well again, anybody who's still missing, people still be buying him. I mean, his ownership's less than Salah and Jesus and stuff, right? So he's got a way it can go. Tom says, one more question, if you don't mind. I have Sterling and could move him to Darwin Nunes at some point. When do you think would be the best time to do this? I think give Raheem a few more games. Give him the weekend. Watch him. The Leeds game's on the telly the following Sunday as well. So there's a few games to have an assessment and then I think judge it after that. So coming into game week 4, Nunes got Bournemouth at home. Sterling has got Leicester at home. It's not particularly a bad fixture either. But yeah, I'd give it a couple more before you consider doing that personally. Not that I'd really want Raheem Sterling in my squad. I just wouldn't be breaking the team to get Nunes as yet. It's personally how I feel. James F says, scored 74 game week 1, had Sonny in with Salah and Haaland, going to transfer Son for KDB on a rotation with Spurs. Thoughts? Yes, fine. I've been considering it, James. For me, looking at the team just at this week, going Son to KDB is absolutely blindingly obvious. But it's not when I consider that I might want Son back to captain him next week and there's other people that I may be in a position that I want to get rid of as well. And I've set mine up not to be wildcarding early. Otherwise, I've been picking some different players, to tell you the truth. So I'm probably not going to do it. Again, consider the wider picture. Look ahead at game week 3. Daniel Thomas says, afternoon, James. Sky question. Do you prefer Haaland to Kane or Cancelo to Son on Sunday? I think I prefer the latter as I'm happier to go without Cancelo for a longer time. No, I'd arguably still be Haaland to Kane, and that's for Sky Fantasy. For the FPL listeners, you can change within days. So in that format, you could go Haaland to Kane on Sunday, have Kane against Chelsea and Wolves, and then go back to Haaland when City play Newcastle. So I guess it comes down to you're saying, Daniel, you're happy to go without Cancelo for a longer time, then that's the right answer. If it was myself, I'd be looking more at the Haaland to Kane at the moment. Flying Pig says, hold Mahrez for this game week and move him next week or move him to Bowen this week. Well, I'm guessing that you started with Riyad Mahrez at part thinking about Bournemouth in mind. So, look, Mahrez could play the last half hour and get double figure returns, right? So, I think I'd hold it. That said, I think Jared Bowen will do well this weekend. But I think if you've... How are you going to feel? Think of it this way. If you sell Mahrez now and he starts, how are you going to feel? I think you put up with it, don't you, for this week and then move it next week. West Ham are away as well. It's not, they haven't got wild fixtures afterwards where you're desperate to have him. You could argue Brighton, Villa away, Tottenham, Chelsea's a tough four for Jared Bowen afterwards. So I would leave it. Go with Mahrez, see how you feel for the week. FPL Lighthouse this afternoon, James. Is it classic FPL overthinking to consider the weather this weekend when selecting our captain? What have we got to compare it to? This is the thing, right? So it's going to be real hot again this weekend for those on the outside. So bar Liverpool and Palace on Monday night, every Premier League game is going to kick off at kind of like at least 30 degrees. And I think the hottest one of all, I want to say, might be Arsenal and Leicester tomorrow, maybe. And then Brentford Man United in the 5:30. They might even be the hottest ones. It's going to be bloody hot. So I think it's natural to think, oh, teams who keep possession well, Manchester City example, should perform well this weekend because it's going to be harder for the opposition to run after them, right? I think we could all have that conclusion. What does that mean in terms of captain Haaland or Salah? So if you're looking at it going, oh, well, Salah's going to be playing in the call on Monday night, that's better for him. Well, it's better for Crystal Palace chasing after him, isn't it? So I really feel like that's one where you'll spin the narrative however you want to spin the narrative. So in my opinion would be that the weather is even more beneficial, if that's possible, to Erling Haaland. That would be my take, but I think you could spin that narrative the other way. So yes, it is probably classic overthinking. I would pick the player that you think will do best this week. Jonathan Aves says, hi, James. What do you make of Kane shouting at Son after not passing the other day? I've never seen Harry this pissed against Son. Oh, I have. Yeah, plenty of times. It's not that uncommon. If Harry thinks he's in the right position to get the ball and he's not given it, yeah, he's got every right to shout. Harry's judged on goal scoring more than anything, right? So he will. Absolutely fine. To say that you've never seen that before, I've seen that a lot of times. And to be fair, only with good justification. We're not talking about the kind of Ronaldo arm slinging stuff. We're talking about Son should have given the ball. Yeah, he was in a better position. He didn't give it to him. That's it. Owen Wilson says, as a Saints fan, I'm incredibly worried for this season. Ralph Hasenhüttl just can't coach a team to defend, and I don't think he'll last much longer. Been racking my brains for available replacements, but can't think of any good ones. Any ideas? Oh, I mean, knowing Southampton and the kind of the model they might be going down with Rasmus Ankersen in the club now, the answer is probably someone you haven't heard of, because Southampton will probably look at that more in terms of similar to the Brentford model in terms of their signing of players. There's no reason to think they wouldn't think differently about managers. I think to say he can't coach a team to defend is pretty harsh. Arsenal at home? Okay, yeah. Forster made a load of good saves on that particular day. What about the performance against Liverpool a couple of years ago, where Liverpool battered them all game long but didn't have a decent shot on target, basically? And they had a huge injury list going into that game, Southampton. So the idea that he can't, I don't agree with. I think the players definitely aren't there. I think he's a front foot first, aggressive thinking manager, as in he wants his centre backs to be aggressive. And in this league, a lot of good players will expose you. I've been saying since the start, very concerned about Southampton because the fixture list is not great. Got beat at Tottenham. Most teams will this year. Beat Leeds tomorrow, everything's fine. I think the problem is if you don't beat Leeds tomorrow, and I don't think you will based on what I saw at the weekend. But I think that's kind of a toss of a coin fixture tomorrow against Leeds. Lose it, Leicester United, Chelsea afterwards looks a bit grim. With Leicester away and the other two at home, it's difficult. And then the pressure will obviously begin to build. But I have not heard any noises of suggestion at this stage that Southampton are thinking of changing. In terms of replacement managers, I think Carlos Corberan's become available, obviously having left Huddersfield. Might be a big step up. Are you better off? Like I said, it will probably be someone who's unknown. Reese Marlowe says, hi, James. Do you see a particular time that is best to play the wild card? The international break after game week 8 feels like the most sensible. I normally like to go early around game week 4 after window closing. So I think, look, whatever suits your needs best. At the end of the day, if you've got 6 players who are about to lose value next week, there's a case to say that alone. Oh, I'm losing too much, like way too much value. You pull the trigger, even if you end up keeping some of them players, is a fair argument. So I don't think there's an optimal time as such. It's down to opinion. Last year, we had things like the Chelsea swing. I want to say it was about game week 7. Then we had the Manchester United swing, was a bit later on, so game week 13, 14 from memory. There's nothing like that this year. The good teams either all have good fixtures or all have kind of fixtures where they play each other and stuff. So, I mean, there is a case once Liverpool kind of walk into Chelsea in game week 8, we've got Chelsea, Brighton, Arsenal, Man City as their next 4. Like, could you take them on and go no Liverpool for that period? Similarly, Man City's fixtures start with Tottenham the week before, and it's Wolves, Man United, Southampton and Liverpool themselves. Chelsea play, obviously, Liverpool from that week. Palace away the week after. Tottenham the week before have Man City, Leicester at home, then it's Arsenal away 9, Brighton away 10. So, you know, could you, around that time, and I'm considering it, literally get all the top players from the Leicester's, the West Ham. So your Bowens, your Madison's, your Vardy's, if he's fit, etc. Villa might be another one. Newcastle might be another one. Get the players from those teams and literally, as you're getting towards the unlimited period, start phasing them back in from about game week 12, 13 or so. And that's probably going to involve hits because of setup. Chances are you'll want to keep at least one premium from those, be it Haaland, Salah, whomever your fancy is at the time. I think you could. There's a case to even wait all the way to sort of game week 14 if you're happy with your team. Treat the last 2 game weeks as a free hit, basically, because 15, 16, the big clubs have all got great fixtures. So if you want to come off them slowly, then hammer back. There's loads of ways to do it. The thing is, if you do it around that kind of game week 8 period, as I said, which is the week before the international break would be going into game week 9. Are you happy to do that? Like, what are you wildcarding to and from? You're wildcarding from the best teams to the pretenders, as I've called them. So it might be that I get there and go, don't fancy this. Leicester have a super run from game week 9, for example. They've got the best 5-game run pre-World Cup of any team, as far as I'm concerned, from game week 9. West Ham have a really good run from game week 8. Newcastle is from game week 8 as well. And Villa come back into a nice little run themselves from game week 8 as well. So you could look at that. It's cojones to do it though, isn't it? The best teams have the most consistent players who will perform almost irrespective of these fixtures. How many times have we not captained Mo Salah against Man City and he's proven to be the best choice afterwards? We've all been there. So, no, I have no set plan for wild card at all at the moment. And I think everybody should have an open mind on it. Unless you know, for example, you are activating it tomorrow night for game week 3. That's fine. Crack on. Richard Sleeman says, triple captain Haaland. Nah. One for you, Richard, because we did this analysis in pre-season. We worked out that the best possible double game week for Man City was likely to be Fulham away and Bournemouth away. So we want to do it now. You could have Bournemouth as part of 2 games later in the season. They might be dead and buried by then. Don't think so on what we've seen opening, by the way. Nah, can't be having it, mate. Antonino Gitta says, who do you think scores more goals this season out of Kane and Son, do you reckon? In terms of goal scoring, I will always back Harry. In terms of FPL, slight preferences with Son as the midfield position player. They'll be close. Jeff says, hello, my friend. Who were the best Spurs players that you've seen who were never capped on one non-Spurs player? You asked me this last week, Jeff, and I forgot about it. I didn't give it any more thought, right? Best Spurs players that you've seen who were never capped. As I said last week, there's not many. There's not many I could think of. I mean, I could throw in things like Ginola was never called up for France while he was with Spurs, for example. But he had France caps before that. One non-Spurs player never got a cap. It's got to be some really good ones when the kind of Premier League era started, I'm guessing. People like maybe Steve Bruce at Man United, for example, maybe. I mean, most players these days do get called out. As I said to you last week, Jeff, my dad would give you probably a whole great team. We did a pod, didn't we, on uncapped players. We did it during the COVID period. I can't remember who was in it, mate. Richard Sleeman says, Son to De Bruyne, no pressing matters in team. Fine, crack on, mate. I've covered this already, so I'll skip. Adarsh says, Hi, James. Thoughts on Damsgaard as an FPO option? He's absolutely not one at the moment. There is no chance that he starts against Manchester United tomorrow. I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't start for Brentford until we get into sort of September or so. Honestly, not even a discussion. He's way off fitness levels. Absolutely way off. And remember, Brentford have got Keane Lewis Potter in reserve at the moment, ready to come in as well. So, no. It's a complete no-go at the moment. If he scores tomorrow, I'll laugh and be pleased. Emily Cissoni says, Hey, James, who would you start out of Dallo versus Brentford or Andreas Pereira versus Wolves? Thanks. Arguably Pereira. I'll have a think about that. They'll both be on the bench in dilemmas. I'm fairly sure of that. Close. I mean, I think United could get beat again tomorrow, personally. So my instinct would be to go with Pereira, possibly. Close one, though. Neil Thompson says, Right, so I let the wife join that stupid league and she's top after one game week and there's 50 points more than me. Can you imagine what it's been like in the house all week? It's fun, Neil. You'll catch her, right? You know what you're doing. Neil also says, Thanks for another great week of content, by the way. Thank you. And Neil says, Apparently, I don't need to spend hours at this easy game, as she calls it. Well, you deserve that, mate. Hafiz Kanji says, Start Bailey over James. I can't be having that. I promise you tomorrow, I'll top on the bench in dilemmas be Reece James. I can't be having that. And I know, yeah, as Gary Mantle discussed on Clash of the Correspondents yesterday, there is every possibility he plays at right-sided centre-back. But is it unthinkable that Chelsea win 2-0 tomorrow and Reece James plays right wing back? On Sunday, rather. Now, if I say that to you, you want to leave him out? What'd you get Reece James for? Fixtures? Nah. Play Reece James for me, mate. It's not a player you leave out. Them wing backs, Reece James, Cancelo, Robertson, Trent, I wouldn't be interested in fixtures. They'd just, if I've got them, they'd always play, unless I genuinely thought they weren't going to start the game. Andras Yames says, Hey James, I saw the coverage for the UEFA Super Cup and the pundits did predictions for the Champions League winner this year. All three went for Man City. Is that the general feeling in the country right now? I'd say probably, Andras, the feeling among in the country is probably that Man City are probably the best team in it, but they'll fuck it up because they normally do, right? That Madrid will be a runner again, obviously. It's difficult to foresee Barcelona being a runner. I'm sure Bayern will be a runner, PSG, obviously. But failing that, yeah, of course you do fancy English clubs. And I think we'd have to say that Man City's champions are the strongest currently. A lot can happen between now and next April and May, which is when the Champions League really matters, right? So if you ask me to tip a name now, yeah, I'd probably say Man City as well. But there are 7-8 teams could win it, I think. Jeff says, as a Luton Town fan, I would be interested to know your experiences of Spurs-Luton matches that you have been. Also, player links between the teams. I believe Paul Walsh played for both. Yes, he did. The great, and this is one for the chat, man, FPL listeners, the great Gary Doherty was signed by Spurs from Luton Town in 2000. Experiences of Kenilworth Road, one of the funniest places on earth. It's like going in someone's back garden. If you haven't been, you should experience it. And if you have been, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Best memory was 4-1 win, 91-92 season. Luton were winning 1-0. The floodlights failed. My dad said to my mum, we're going to win 4-1. My mum said, pigs might fly. We won 4-1. And my mum bought my dad a flying pig. And that's a true story. Patrick said, Hi, James. Hope you're good. Rashford, obviously it was cardboard. It wasn't like a pig like attached to a modern day propeller. This was like 1992, yeah, or 91. I'm just trying to remember if it was December or January. I feel like it was earlier. Maybe it was 91, late 91, I think. It's a cardboard cutout, you know, throwing thing. Patrick says, hi, James. Hope you're good. Rashford to Grealish, worth it? No, I'd give him one more, I think, personally. Again, think about it, right? You go Grealish and he blanks or doesn't start. What are you doing next? Rolling's quite powerful this week, I think, for a lot of people. Yes, it's easy to want the Man City players. And for many of you, that's the right decision. For a lot of you, there might be issues elsewhere where perhaps you shouldn't. Owen Wilson says, who's the only Spurs keeper ever to play 10-plus games in a Premier League season and not keep a clean sheet? Gosh, it's going to be a trivia question, isn't it, that I don't know the answer to, mate? But pop it in the chat. Off the top of my head, I'm going to say Carlo Cudicini. There's a guess for you. James Stock says, with it being your day job, do you take FPL seriously or see it more as a hobby? That's an interesting question. Do I take FPL seriously? No. I take it seriously for the content. Do I take it that seriously in terms of my own team? And naturally, I think about it and talk about it, but it's all for the content. I take the content, obviously, very seriously. But I am very lucky. I've never pretended otherwise. So it never truly feels like work. Only sometimes my problem is time, right? So Friday deadlines, it's just like there's not enough hours in the day to get everything prepped properly for what I want to do on the deadline. But it's all about the content. It's not about, last week when it came out that it was pretty clear, sort of 6 hours before deadline, Perisic and Doherty weren't going to play for Tottenham and they're both sitting in my FPL team. My first thought was, take a breath, what do I want to do? My second thought was, oh my God, I need to get something out to inform people. And that became the priority. But I then had to decide what I was doing with my team before I let people know, because I didn't want that, oh, you said this, James, yada, yada, yada. And listen, anyway, I'm allowed to change my mind like the next person. So it's somewhere in the middle, James. It's a good question. Do I take FPL seriously? Like, I don't go to bed and think about FPL unless I'm thinking about what I'm going to talk about on the podcast the next day. FPL PTSD says, hi, James. Do you think Everton have done enough in the transfer window to prevent relegation? I can't answer that. And the reason I can't answer that is that I can't tell you enough about Amadou Onana or on how good he will or won't be. Looking forward to seeing him. I'm not convinced he'll start tomorrow, but looking forward to seeing him soon. And that's important because if he's really good and with the experience of Tarkowski and Cody, they should be in a good place. That said, in this league, if you're struggling to score goals, you'll be down that end and they have to fix that. They have to fix that. These next four games for them are good fixtures on paper. Villa away, Forest at home, Brentford away, Leeds away. But if you ask me right now to predict them, I'll say to you, I think Everton get 3 points. Everton need to get more than 3 points in them next four games. They've got an awful run after that. So, yeah, need to sort it quickly. Holistamus says, just stop by to say hello. Hello, my friend. Sayuj says, start two of Neto, Bailey or Perisic. So I think, look, Neto's a kind of a guaranteed starter. So home to Fulham, I think you start him. Perisic is not going to start. I wouldn't have thought. I'd be very surprised. I wouldn't be unhappy if he starts, but I would be very surprised if he starts. Bad Company says, hi, James. If you had to name a first team 11 to play every game for the World Cup, who would you pick? I really feel like there is a lot of options this year. I presume you're talking about England. How do we deal with this? I will say Pickford in goal. I still think is the choice. Back three, right to left, Kyle Walker, Eric Dier, John Stones. And you can come at me for that if you want on Eric Dier, but I'm sorry. If anyone thinks the likes of Mings and Cody have been better than him over the last 12 months, you've not been watching Eric Dier. Same applies to Harry Maguire. It needs to be a back three for Eric Dier, I would add that. In the wing-back system, it's Reece James for me and Chilwell. It would be those two. So, yes, no Trent. In the wing-back system, I'd prefer Reece James. Back four, I'd prefer Trent. Midfield's got to be Declan Rice at the moment, hasn't it? I think it probably does need to be Calvin Phillips with him. As it stands, it's a big couple of months for him. He needs to, you know, he really suffered with injuries and stuff last year. Ahead of that, what have I got left? Three players, Grealish, Foden, Kane for me. That feels really harsh on Raheem Sterling, who never lets England down. So I will say Sterling, Foden, Kane at the moment with Jack as an in. But I want Jack to play. I want Jack to play. Ideally, you'd want all three of them in the team, I think. But then it's a back four, and that's not... I think it is right for England to play a back three, I think. Lee Jackson saying, Bailey captain question. Lee, our Aston Villa correspondent, is as ever on a wind-up and seriously needs to work on his comedy routine. James Smith says, hi, James. What do you think for Mahrez owners? Leave it for this week, then move on if he doesn't start. If you're late to the stream, I've answered a very similar question a little bit earlier, so I'm going to jump that, James, but thanks for the question. Brian Robinson says, James, really enjoy your content. I went with Ollie Watkins week one. Ouch. Lee said he thought he comes back in. Agree. I do agree, yes. And I think if you've gone Ollie Watkins, you hold it, I think. But I'd be looking to move it next week. That would be my take at the moment. Madian Ape Cook says, Gundogan this week for Mount or too early? Too early. We don't know if what we saw at West Ham is going to be a repeat, do we? If City are going to play like that every week, Gundogan is going to be on radar for people very, very quickly. But we don't know. We really don't know on one game with Manchester City. So a too early for me, I would presume, particularly in the case of who you're looking to sell as well. Mason Mount was your choice, I'm guessing, of midfielder at that price because you wanted his consistency. I'd give him a chance, mate. Jeff says, which footballer that you have met was your biggest thrill and which one was the most pleasant? I've not had huge experiences of meeting footballers, not many. I missed Michael Dawson in the Pitch and Piano in Nottingham a few years ago, and that really, really annoyed me. I've met Ledley, pleasant as you would expect, only brief and fleeting. I would have said most pleasant has probably got to be Gary Mabbott, hasn't it? Such a gent. Josh Telling says, afternoon, James. Your predictions on Chelsea Spurs game must be quietly confident after the displays pre-season last weekend. Yeah, to be honest, Josh, I'm going to skip that, though, because we did a whole podcast on that yesterday. It was obviously Clash of the Correspondents. I talk about my prediction in detail in the last 5 minutes of that podcast. Vin Carter says, Neto, Andreas, or Bailly dilemma. For what? To buy, to sell, to start? Doesn't say, mate, so I'm going to skip your question. Louis Reddington, Mount to Foden or Gundogan? I'm going to skip that because it's very similar to other ones I've covered. TW says, could you tell us your FPL ID so I can have a look on live FPL over the season? Yeah, sure. 3075. I mean, or you can just drop here sort of like every week where I talk about it. I'm not going to be hiding anything. So, and I'll tweet my team out. I'm highly likely to be rolling, so you can see my team from last week. It's going to be the same. Hall and captain, that's all. 3075. And I can thank Nico for that because I was sitting next to Nico in the office and he said, game's live. I said, cheers, mate. Liam H says, hi, James. Are you going to the game on Sunday at Stamford Bridge? Also, have you ever been to Hull City Stadium? Yes, I do have a ticket for Sunday. Hull, I've been to one, two, three times I've been to Hull. Was it more? No, three. And had successes. I went on a weeknight in August, beautiful, absolutely perfect August weather. It was like 26, 27 in the day, and it was like just beautiful kind of still night, sort of 23, 24 degrees, absolutely perfect. We won 5-1, Defoe got hat-trick. I went for a league game under Sherwood. We drew 1-1, Paulinho equalised, and it was complete opposite. Like, boy, it was cold. And I went last day of the season, which would have been Hull's most recent home game in the Premier League, when we won 7-1. Or have Hull been back since then? No, they can't have. No, they haven't. Yeah, we won 7-1, final day, Harry Kane, hat-trick. It's not often you go to an away ground and you've seen two hat-tricks. That doesn't often happen from three games. Berth Media says, would you do Mount to Bowen for a free transfer? Now, similarly, I'll just say, and you can do it, but why did you pick Mason Mount in the first place? Is it because of Everton? Okay, if it was because of Everton and you're worried about Tottenham, move it on. But I think you pick Mount for consistency, no? You knew, if it's Tottenham that you're bothered by, you knew all along that Chelsea had Tottenham in game week two. So And Chelsea have a phenomenal record against us. They beat us 9 of the last 11 meetings. We've won once at Stamford Bridge since 1990. A Tottenham player hasn't scored a league goal against Chelsea since 2018. Like, there are loads of statistics not to be bothered about keeping, man. And I keep hearing from a lot of Chelsea fans that they're a little bit more cautious than normal, shall we say, for this weekend. But I'd keep him. Ali Jahangirov says, hi, James. Bench one, James, Neto, Dean or Bailey. Very reluctantly, it would probably be Bailey. Mr. Dyer says, hi, James. I have both Paris H and Reece James. Are you start both and hope Perisic starts? Right, I'm going to presume that Paris H and Perisic is Ivan Perisic. My prediction as of now would be that the Tottenham team on Sunday will be the same team that started against Southampton. TW says, any TV series you've watched since Dexter? No. No. I saying this to Suge the other night when we was on our way driving to FPLGs. I watched a program on BBC One the other night about Tamara Eccleston's jewels being stolen. It just stayed on after the news and stuff, and I was doing research and it was on in the background, and yeah, it was all right. It was fairly interesting, actually. In terms of a TV series, it's literally nothing. I don't have the time. Please don't feel sorry for me, but I don't have the time with the little one as well. Colm Bugler says, hi, James. No questions today. Just wish me luck, please. Good luck. As I decided against the Kane to Haaland move. Also, it was great to see you and Suj on with the Juice Boys. Hit the like, people. Thanks, Colm. Yeah, smash a like. Hit the subscribe button. It was nice to cross 10,000 subscribers during the deadline stream at the weekend. That'd be good. Yeah, really enjoyed going on Juice, by the way. We're lovely boys, Ash and Nick. I'd obviously met Ash before at Game Week 39. I'd said to him then, look, get us on. We'll come on the show. Because not far from us as well. It's about 20, 25-minute drive to their studio. They've got a brilliant little setup there. Really nice lads. Pushkar says, any merit in holding Kane this week? Yeah, look, it's Harry Kane. Harry Kane. Colm's just said he's decided he's going to keep Harry Kane. I'm not going to shoot him down. Play it however you want to. My personal opinion would be that if Kane to Haaland is sitting there in front of your face, make the move, would be my personal opinion. But is there merit? Well, yeah, Wolves afterwards, Nottingham Forest afterwards, Fulham 2 games after that, West Ham away in between 4 and 6. Doesn't mind a Tottenham West Ham derby, does Harry Kane? So, yeah, I mean, there's some merit. Just, I would make the move personally. FPL Upside King says, Mark's here, double City defence, Walker and Edison. Or Mahrez on a wild card game week 2. Don't like Walker as a pick. Don't like Edison as a pick. Don't like Mahrez as a pick. I've just been very, very honest with you. Very, very honest. I think if I was on wild card right now, I would go Cancelo, De Bruyne and Salah. And I would be looking to move De Bruyne to Salah or Son afterwards. That would be my thought process. The only cheaper City player I'd tempted to punt at the moment, it's Gundogan, from what I saw last week. But as I already said, we don't know if they're going to play that way again. JP said, just retracted my question on the Leicester keepers because I saw the info on the screen. Thanks for all you do, James. You're very welcome. For the benefit of those on the audio, it's probably in relation to the fact that Leicester are looking to buy Alex Smithies. I say buy, sign, former Huddersfield and Cardiff goalkeeper. I would have thought that Smithies would be third choice and would compete with Daniel Everson to be second choice. Certainly no threat to Danny Ward. I'd be fairly certain of that. Theodore says, non-FPO question. Who do you think are the best placed for promotion teams in a championship and also to get relegated to League One? Well, I don't know enough about the league. I can tell you that Rotherham always seems to go up and down. I think Birmingham have had a decent start, but are probably going to be in trouble. In terms of coming up, it's going to be the familiar names, right? Watford, Norwich, West Brom, Burnley have made a really good start under Vincent Kompany, Sheffield United, Middlesbrough. Those are the, you know, if you ask me to say name a top six, those are the six in my head. Jonathan Comba says, afternoon, James. I took a punt on Bernardo Silva at the start. If he doesn't start this weekend, what would you suggest? Have 0.5 in the bank. Cheers for the content, as always, mate. It's 7.5, Bernardo. I'm not even sure. Martinelli's the obvious one. If you don't have, like, honestly, I'd come right down and spread the money. And I'd be looking to do that or set up if he's 7.5. Sorry, I can't actually remember what price he is. I've got a feeling he's 7.5. Or I'd be looking to set up to get up to one of the 8 millions. That's what I'd be looking to do. I mean, Jones says, James, would you go -4 for Son to KDB? Or another way of working it, who gets more in next 4 weeks, Son or KDB? No, because I'm not going to do it for free. He's not 100% I'm not going to do it. I don't think I'm going to do it. I'm kind of set in my mind I'm not. And one of the reasons is, I used an analogy on our Patreon podcast this morning of thinking about it from a Sky Fantasy perspective, where we kind of total up the fixtures. So there's every chance if I go KDB, I want to reverse it next week, which isn't a certainty, but it's possible that I reverse it. So if I look over the next 5 fixtures, Bournemouth at home, Newcastle away, Palace at home, Forest at home, Villa away, great. But I'm probably captain Haaland if I captain the City asset in those fixtures. Fine, unless I think Haaland's not going to play. I guess not in a Forest in the midweek might be a little risky, for example. But chances are I'd captain Haaland over De Bruyne as it stands. Whereas keeping Son, next 5, Chelsea away, Wolves at home, Forest away, West Ham away, Fulham at home. I captain him twice, possibly 3 times. Let's say twice. Let's say Wolves in 3 and Fulham in 6 as it stands. So it's effective 7 versus 5. And it's costing me a transfer to move to the player with 5 fixtures. If I move back, it's costing me 2 transfers, which means there's 2 other problems that I can't deal with. And that's why. Sometimes we can look at what's right in front of our face. Like, do I think Son outscores De Bruyne this week? No, absolutely no chance. If I just look at it for a little bit longer, maybe the right thing to do here is just not to do anything. And I often think when you're in that in enough doubt, that's normally the right solution, is to do nothing rather than do something. Now, it wouldn't be impulsive because I've been thinking about it all week. But I think this is the sensible conclusion. The reason I want De Bruyne is I'm very confident the outscores Son this week. But there's the factoring of the 2 transfers, the 7 versus 5, the thinking about the slightly bigger picture, which says to me that right now, probably the right decision for me, doesn't mean it's the right decision for you, is to keep Sonny. Hopefully that explains it. Cole Valencia says, bench 1 of Dalot, Andreas or Bailey. We had Dalot and Andreas earlier, didn't we? So probably Dalot. Joe Pickrell says, hi, James. Best ever away day you've been on. Who wants to tell him? Who wants to tell him, mate? Anyone want to guess? Go on, just invade the chat and I'll just sit silent. Everybody who's listening to the audio is currently screaming, Lucas Moura, mate. Ajax of Amsterdam. And it's, it'll never get beat, mate. As an away game, it'll never get beat. Never get beat. How am I ever going to beat that for an away day than being 3-0 down the Champions League semi-final at halftime and winning on away goals in the 95th minute? I can't even win a game on away goals ever again. How's it ever going to get beat? A Man City away in the quarterfinal before is probably the next best. If I go back further, just for more historical ones, winning at Liverpool, FA Cup quarterfinal 1995 was pretty special. 8,000 of us on the Anfield Road. 2 evenly matched teams. They were probably a little bit better, if I'm honest. But we had so much firepower. Klinsmann scored in front of the Kop with a minute to go. Pandemonium. But yeah, obviously, Lucas Moura. Spurs in Amsterdam. Owen Jones says, PS, your footy knowledge is top levels. Enjoy FPL far more since I found your page. Thanks, brother. Cheers, mate. Appreciate it. FPL Upside King says, what do you really make of Mitrovic in terms of numbers? I think he's excellent value, but I just can't seem quite confident to commit. That's fine. Then don't. And they've got a tough run coming up. So again, the short-term thing is to go Wolves away, Brentford at home. He's just scored against Liverpool. Great. Yeah, but let's look at 4-7. Arsenal, Brighton, Tottenham, Chelsea is pretty stingy, isn't it? So I think he's one, and I've got Dara penciled in to come on Clash of the Correspondents with Dara the Tinkerman, our Fulham correspondent, to come on with Mark Subbins prior to the meeting between Forest and Fulham. in game week 8, because I think it's potentially a good time to get onto both of those teams. Admittedly, for Forest, it's possibly a little bit late, but we'll have some information of some interesting fixtures before that. So Mitrovic, I think for me, is probably a leave until 8. Yes, he scored twice against Liverpool. He's not going to do that every week. Is he going to be consistent and do really well? Yeah. Yeah, I think he's going to be a great option. He's clear talisman. He's going to be heavily involved in a lot of goals. But they also have a creativity issue at the moment, which actually, ironically, because of the way Liverpool play, allowed them the two moments in the game that Fulham scored from, be it the cross from out wide and the counter-attack where Mitrovic got over the top of the space vacated by Matip. That's not going to be so easy in other games. So it's a no for me, but I would bet that he's probably across the season will be the best FPL forward at around about his value. Let's put it that way. Man on pod, Martin, says, afternoon, James. Sky question. Correct Dunk now in light of passing, looking a worry, or wait and see and potentially use him as my player out for currently uncovered Man United v Leicester single win game week 3. So, yeah, that's probably a good jump off point, I'd say there, Martin. So you've got Newcastle this week, West Ham's the following Sunday. So if there's something obvious to you Sunday, but I think otherwise, wait. And you've got Leeds, and then you've got the Fulham games that Tuesday. So that's a potential decent come off point, actually, where you've got the choice of all the other teams, bar I think there's 9 other teams playing on that Tuesday night on the 30th. Chelsea's the only big name team playing that night. So yeah, you could use it for your Leicester Man United option, possibly. That seems a reasonable strategy. Philip Sukter says, hi, James. Thanks for the great content. No question this week. I'm on holiday. Squad is set. Hall and captain. What could go wrong? Good luck for the weekend. And to you too, mate. Have a great holiday. Oddie Blake says, afternoon, James. Thanks for your content. Interested to know if you're still playing Champ Man. And if so, how you're getting on? Ledley got a goal last night, Coys. Well, I can tell you that in Champ Man last night, I had 36 points on the bench. And Ledley was one of them. Yeah, Ledley, Kevin Nolan, Peggy R. Peckshead, and Albert Goodmanson of Bradford. 36 fucking points between the four of them. Shit happens. Triple captain Van Nistelrooy. I've got Faduka and Phillips. Hat trick for both of them. But I'm miles off, mate. About 500 or so. I had a terrible start. I haven't got the time to focus on it, unfortunately. But yeah. Looking forward to the final few weeks of the season. Cut the chips left. Kunal Yadav says, who would you buy Sun for the period of game week 3-6? I have Haaland and Salah. Who would you buy Sun for the period of game week 3-6? I have Haaland and Salah. I'm not sure I understand the question, mate. You're saying who would you sell for Sun? Listen, it's easy to say sell Mo Salah, but look at Bournemouth at home in game week 4. I don't think that's right, is it? So at the moment, neither. Andrew Gronin says, hi, James. Do you think Chelsea will drop enough dump trucks of cash on Leicester to change their stance on Fofana? Well, I think no. And I know Rob Dorsett, who I think has got connections at Leicester on Sky, had said that Fofana's not even pushing for the transfer. It's his agent, basically. He's kind of keeping the talks going and stuff. So he missed a large part of last season, obviously, through injury. I think Wesley Fofana is a super, super talent. He needs to show that he's obviously over the injury. And obviously, I know he's played for a few months now, but show that he's back at that level. It's a difficult season for Leicester last year with the Europa Conference, not giving a toss about the league kind of stuff. Get consistently playing every week, starting every week for Leicester again. That move will come very naturally for Wesley Fofana next summer, I should imagine. So I don't think it will happen. FPL Soccer Crazy says, hi, James. It is amazing how much you know about football and I love it. But the question is, how tall are you? When I saw you play your game week 39, I was very surprised. Yeah, I'm short, mate. I'm like 5'4", which no one can tell sitting down. But I've never hid from it. I'm sure you could tell, right, when you watch some of the YouTube videos with Suj and stuff, surely. I guess we all look similar sitting down. I am 5'4". I am tiny, mate. Ben says, bench Dean or Bailey? It's probably Bailey. James F says, thoughts on Captain KDB? I've kind of covered this near the start. So I think first question near enough, actually. So I'm going to skip that. Andrew Gronis says, Saka or Kulusevski as a whole to around about game week 8? Well, Arsenal up to game week 8 is better. Tottenham up to game week 6 is very comparable. Tottenham's 3-6 is possibly very comparable to Arsenal's. If we're looking at fixtures, it's Arsenal, isn't it? Difficult one. I don't think you need to make that decision now. Like, are you looking to sell either this week? I wouldn't recommend selling either. Alistair Cooper says, hey, mate, he's actually a goalkeeper and defender for 9.5, not a mid. Probably why you struggled so hard to think of a duo. Currently on Martinez and 8 Nori. This is for the minus 56 team, by the way. So 1 week. I can't remember what I went with. I would say in that case, we need a cheapie. Let's say Lewis Dunk and... I think Everton will score tomorrow, you know. Let's pick someone I'm actually going to predict for a clean sheet. I'm going to say Lewis Dunk. No, I'm not. I'm going to say Sanchez of Brighton. No, I'm not. Yeah. No, do you know what? All in, mate. Ramsdale and Saliba. There you go. All in. Sorry, I can't pronounce your name because I think it's in Russian, but I'm not sure. Forgive me. Son to KDB or Trippier to Walker. I have only Haaland from City. That's kind of covered. I'm not big on Walker as an asset. I own Trippier as well. So at the moment, I have Son. I have Trippier. At the moment, I'm going neither. Admittedly, I do have Cancelo sitting there as well. Caleb says, go without Haaland. Only have Cancelo. Thanks for that. Joe Finley Badder says, watching the game tonight, James. Question, also your thoughts on Dennis to Forrest. No, I probably won't see the game tonight, in all honesty. You might be lucky and catch the second half. Thoughts on Dennis to Forrest. Well, trying to get everyone, aren't they? Could he work as a split forward? I think the answer is yes. Are they going a bit over the top, though, Forrest? I don't know. There's flashbacks to Fulham going a bit mad and stuff, isn't there? It's beginning to get that way. Will he do a good job for them? Yeah, I'm sure fine. He's confidence form player, isn't he? So Liam Crowley says, transferred Rashford out for Gundogan, but could have gone to Mount, Foden or Saka instead. Gundogan ownership persuaded me. Thoughts, James, please. I've got no thoughts, Liam. You've made the transfer. Crack on. Good luck, mate. John Cahill says, considering Bowen, Saka and Madders as options to bring in to facilitate the Haaland move, which of those three do you prefer, mate? Right now, Saka, with what Arsenal have got coming up. It's close enough that I'd want to back the guy with the fixtures. That would be my take at the moment. Greg Frost says, should I have KDB instead of Salah this week? Wish you luck, mate. Like, it's personal preference. This is, if you're looking for the factual do this, do that, you've got the wrong stream, my friend. Ian Parent says, afternoon, James. Sky question, please. What percentage of engaged managers do you expect to be bringing in Son Kane on Sunday for the double captaincy? Seeing many views in favour, but a fair few against too. What's Haaland's ownership, Ian? What is it, 50%-ish or so? I don't think it'd be as many as you think. Let's say half. And it might be dependent a little bit on what Haaland does as well. Tomorrow, people just go, oh, sod it. I'll keep it. At the moment, Ian, I'm not planning to do it as it stands. I don't think them two fixtures are good enough, personally. So I'm going to leave it. I think there'll be better opportunities to come. And I think the fact that we can't see those opportunities in kind of the September, October period is making people go, oh, I want to do this now. I'm not sure it's right, actually. So I'm probably not going to do it. My guess would be 20-25% here. Andrej says, let us know for next Wednesday's pod how many do, mate, because I won't keep a track of it. Andrej says, Trippier and Pope in one team. It's fine, mate. Patrick Flory saying, Lavia was good, though. Yes, Romeo Lavia was good at White Hart Lane, and James Ward-Prowse was good as well. Unfortunately, to get a result somewhere like White Hart Lane these days, mate, you cannot have nine players that are under par, and there were nine players who were under par. I said this on Monday's podcast that I thought Lavia played well. Super talent for 18. Very composed. Chandra Kaur says, who to bench, Bailey or Perisic? Yeah, it's time to just about end this stream, I think, isn't it? Right, I'll do three more. Nelvin says, I have Kane already. Removed Roberts and Jesus to bring in Haaland and Zinchenko. Thoughts on my decision? Great, mate. I really cannot ever be bothered, with the best respect, to advise someone after they've made their decision. Why did you make, if you're in doubt, why have you made the decision? You've made the decision. Great. Good luck. Muxi says, Kulusevski versus Saka. Who hauls more over the following 4 weeks? I said I would back the guy with the fixtures. Kulusevski's got Chelsea and West Ham away in that period. 3 away games out of 4. Arsenal got 3 home games. So Saka. And Dion Chung says, evening, James. Is it too risky to captain Bowen or any other low-owned players, in your opinion? If you think Jared Bowen will be the highest scoring player in FPL this week, you captain him, mate. It's as simple as that, really, isn't it? I need to get out of here, I think. Advanced tier patrons, your team news stream will be in just under an hour, 5 o'clock kickoff. For the YouTube community, the Game Week 2 deadline stream will be at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. Next week's content, the freely available ship, will be our Game Week 2 review on Monday. People's Poll on Tuesday is likely to feature something Premier League historical related, as it's the 30th anniversary of the beginning of the Premier League next week. Wednesday will be Sky Fantasy Football. Thursday will be our 1,000th podcast, Clash of the Correspondents, Newcastle versus Manchester City, with Simon Bibby and Johnny Pringle. And we will celebrate next Friday reaching 1,000 podcasts. And no, that doesn't include the patron stuff. There's about another 500 on there. Patron content next week will be Q&A Monday. Tuesday will be Saint Money in Football. Wednesday will be Tottenham. Thursday quiz. Friday will be our differential show, Game Week 3 Preview. Those podcasts are available from intermediate tier and above. There'll be daily videos and a new 5 minutes added on audios for advanced tier patrons every weekday next week as well. If you'd like to support the show, www.patreon.com/planetfpl. Though, as you'll probably note from the way I answer some of these questions, I'm not promising to make anyone a better FPL manager. Come because you want to support the content. That's all. Have a great weekend, everyone. Play it your way for the benefit of those on the audio. Cue music, please, Manchild.
Football show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.